Hello, listeners. Welcome back. We have another exciting episode of Millennial Blockchain Podcast. This is Chip Ridge. Today, I've got a great guest that I'm super excited to have on, somebody that I've developed a friendship over the last couple of years, Nina Fabry. She is with Berkshire Home Services, and she has a lot of exciting projects that she's been working on. Everybody knows Berkshire and all the things that they do. And Nina has a really cool story to tell and also has some really exciting news to share with our audience. So without further ado, I want to welcome you to the podcast. Nina, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Chip. It's great to be with you. Hello, everyone. My name is Nina Fabry, and I'm the director of the Business Partnership Group at Home Services of America. For those that don't know Home Services, we are the real estate arm of Warren Buffett. And we are a global company. We have over 2,500 offices around the country and the world, and about 90,000 real estate agents. So it's a pleasure to be with you today, Chip.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for joining us. I want to really start, though, touch a little bit on your background, because you have a really interesting background, how you got to where you are today, some of your past experience as a business owner, and a lot of our listeners are business owners themselves, and specifically a lot of them in real estate. So if you don't mind, just share with us sort of your story, how you got to Berkshire, and some of the things that you dealt with along the way.
I got to tell you, Chip, everything was accidental. I planned none of it.
That's always the best, right?
I think that the best things in my life have always been accidental, honestly. It's just been serendipity. It was something that I had an intention for, and then it just kind of happened in a very natural way. Take how I got into real estate. I've now been in the real estate industry for over 17 years, but I originally started thinking that I was going to get into cyber law when I was in college. And I got my business degree, and I was getting ready to go to law school. And I started working for a real estate company on Fisher Island, and I just fell in love with it. And so I never made it to law school. I ended up getting my license and getting knee deep into luxury real estate on Fisher Island, and then eventually owning my own brokerage there. But that was, like I said, never intentional. It just kind of happened, you know? So I think that you have to be open in life to opportunities, and you have to then recognize them, right? And take advantage of the opportunity that's being introduced to you. Then I got involved with Asian real estate sales and ended up starting another real estate brokerage where we were focused on, I'm based out of Miami, so we were focused on selling Miami around the country to Asian investors around the United States, as well as China, Taiwan, and you know, different countries throughout Asia.
Time frame was that?
That was when, you know, that was when Asian, you know, a lot of investors from Asia were coming into the United States. It really started around 2011.
Okay.
And really started taking off for many, you know, several years.
Yeah. So that was right after sort of the downturn. So people were had a lot of foreign interest.
You had a lot of foreign interest in the United States. And Miami is such a transient place that you constantly get a lot of investors from outside the country. I remember in the early 2000s, you know, with Chavez taking power in Venezuela, we started getting a lot of Venezuelan investors, right? Then Brazil, then Colombia. And so the Asian investors started coming into Miami because of political reasons in the, you know, 2010, 2011. And so we rode that wave. And I ended up becoming the president for the Asian Real Estate Association as a result of that.
Oh, very cool.
And that was a great journey, and it made some, you know, wonderful lifelong friends throughout that journey as well.
Awesome. Well, that is cool. And it's interesting when I talk to people, and we're diving down a little bit, but about sort of the Miami economics of real estate, I do tell people, I said, it's hard to translate that into other markets, because in a lot of cases, it might be a currency play. It might be a flight to some type of safety on an international basis. So when people are like, golly, I don't understand Miami, what, you know, it's still plugging along, and other markets maybe are having some demand destruction or, you know, headwinds, whatever. I go, yeah, you just can't understand Miami unless you're there and unless you really, like you were doing, unless you're really working with some of these different investor groups that are coming in and how they view it. It is a different marketplace, but it's such a neat and dynamic marketplace because of all the different cultures that are coming together. And I think one thing I will give Miami credit for is the fact that they've embraced that as an identity, and they haven't tried to put up any barriers to entry or what have you. Now it can be overwhelming. These guys from Kentucky, like myself, that go down there, little old me running around a big city, but it's cool, very cool. Well, let's talk a little bit about blockchain, because that's a lot of our listeners are interested in what's going on in blockchain. And you have been a real thought leader in the space, and I applaud you for that, especially with a large organization like Berkshire, because, you know, what I have found is in the more traditional real estate world, when you start talking about blockchain and ultimately cryptocurrency and so forth, and then we'll talk a little bit about Web3 and the metaverse, which is even cooler. You know, the traditional view is very defensive. What's going on? Not embracive, but you've taken an approach, a very progressive approach. I wanted you to share a little bit about your history within the blockchain space and what you've been doing specifically at Berkshire. And then we can talk about some of these other projects you're involved in.
Sure. I think that unfortunately the real estate industry oftentimes, is not forward thinking when it comes to new technologies, right? And that's an issue, right? Because technology has changed our world. And as an industry, we need to be better about embracing it instead of being against it, right? And a couple years ago, I got involved with cryptocurrency as well as blockchain and then metaverse. And I started seeing that this is essentially the next version of the internet. And this is going to change the world. It's going to take time, but it is going to change everything that we are currently, you know, the state that we're currently living in, right? Thankfully, home services is open to embracing change, right? Leadership understands that we need to be forward thinking. And so we've started a committee within home services, a few people, including myself, where we are now looking at blockchain, we're looking at cryptocurrency, we're looking at metaverse, to see how we can begin to educate our real estate agents as well as our companies about these technologies, and also begin thinking about what strategies we need to implement so that we can be a company of the future and not be the Cadillac of the real estate industry, right?
Well, no, that's interesting, because my one example I use, and it's a little bit overblown, but I think there's some context that's relevant to it, is sort of the Zillow moment, as I say, you know, for us in the title insurance space, and I've said this before, people are probably rolling their eyes, but, you know, it's important that we stay engaged in whatever this technology, you can call it disruption, revolution, evolution, whatever it ultimately looks like. If we are not collaborating, if we don't have a seat at the table, the proverbial table, we can get pushed out. And I'm not saying holistically, I'm not predicting the demise of title insurance and title agents at all. I think there should and will be a role for us moving forward, because as a real estate professional, we all have a very important role. We did sort of a Venn diagram of all the different parties involved in a real estate transaction. And it's pretty overwhelming. And one of the takeaways that I share is it would be very challenging to Uberize that process, you know, and I think some of the prop tech folks out there think about it as, well, we should be able to sell real estate in, you know, 5 days or whatever. I mean, technically you should, but when you really look at all the players involved in it and the parties and that would maybe in some regards be a bad thing. What I would suggest is that though the technology will enable us to do some really amazing things with the process, make it more price discovery oriented, make the user experience much more engaged, make people feel like they have much more control over it, and candidly make, you know, if it's more efficient, more cost effective, and more secure, guess what? Everybody's going to be, I think, going to be happier.
Absolutely.
So what you've been championing with just the, you know, building around agent experience and stuff, I think is super important. And it's going to serve, at the end of the day, it's just going to make the experience a lot better for everybody. And that's the end goal. The technology is the technology. We're just trying to take tools of it. It doesn't run what we do. I think that's where people get sort of reverse engineered on. It's like, if we're the professional, the technology's there. Like, we just have to figure out ways to deploy it and use it to enhance the experience. Well, let's dive a little deeper into some of the things that you're thinking about and that you all are talking about within the Berkshire space, which you're allowed to share with the audience. And then I also know that you've got some metaverse things that you're working on too. So we can talk about that as a next layer.
So we're looking at home services. We're looking at how can we begin to build strategy, right? So one of the things that we're doing now is we're educating our network, right? We're and then empowering the agents. And I'm finding that there's a lot of agents in our network that are already involved in crypto. And it's just so, it's exciting for me to see that. And I'm, you know, it's pretty much every day now that I'm getting an email or a call from an agent that's in our network. Oh, I love crypto. I want to learn more and be more engaged. And so right now, that's essentially what we're really focused on is waking people up, right? Letting them know that this is here to stay, and then helping them learn more about it and become more engaged in these different technologies. That's number one. And then number two, we're looking at how can we use blockchain to help our transactions become more efficient, right? How can we be more engaging when it comes to working with crypto investors? Right? How can we bring those crypto investors into the transaction, you know, better than we're doing today? Because today we're really not doing much when it comes to that. Who can we partner with, right? What companies are in this space that can help us with those transactions, right? And so those are the two things that we're working on. Some fun things that I'm thinking about, but we're not really implementing today, is how can we do something with NFTs to build loyalty with our clients, right? What can we do in the metaverse space?
You all have an amazing brand that everybody, one, trusts, two, recognizes, and three, has such awareness. You know what I mean? I mean, it's one of those sort of iconic brands. So I think that's very interesting, but I'll let you continue.
We call it the Warren Buffett halo.
Right? I see your brother. Really, I do. You've got a halo.
It's an incredible halo, and it's recognized everywhere in the world, and it's respected anywhere in the world, right? So how can we utilize, how can we take that halo to a greater level with these technologies? And I think there is an opportunity there with NFTs, and that's something that that we're working towards. I can't reveal the secret sauce.
And we, you know, we just came out with a product called the Millennial NFT. And, you know, the focus of that product is not, at this point, not utility at all. It's really around awareness and education adoption. And we're very cognizant that it's still very, very early in the whole stage. And typically, if you look at technology stages, there's the innovator stage, which is, you know, where people are in their basements or wherever, and they're at coffee shops working furiously on different whiteboards and programs and developments and business ideas. And then they're taking them and getting them funded and going through all the you know, the heavy lifting that goes in there. That's can be a really rough stage. And I still think we're in that stage of development.
I agree. I think so too.
And you have to be careful, because if you're not, If you don't have the capitalization and the propensity to really see through it, it's almost my what I compare it to is a real estate development. My grandfather, who did development a long time ago, he's always say sometimes it's better to be second than first to one of these developments, because the first guy, you know, buys the land, clears the trees, puts the roads in, you know what I mean? And then he gets all the way and maybe the market timing isn't right. And so right. he's stuck and he's got all this money, you know, and then my grandfather is sitting there going, well, hey, Pops, you know, you need out of this. Well, I'll come in. And so, you know, we're carrying some of the water. I like to say there's a lot of other really good companies. One that you work with, Proppy. There's just some neat groups out there that are doing some really cool stuff. But the innovative stage is hard. It's hard. You have to really break down a lot of barriers. And then you get into what I would suggest, and this is where we're trying to potentially position ourselves. The early adopters, the people that have you know done the training, who are interested in it, even shared. You're uncovering more and more people that know about cryptocurrency, that know about blockchain, that maybe have had a Web3 metaverse experience. And so those are the ones I think that are sort of prime right now to hopefully get on board. Get them collaborating, get them, you know, giving feedback. That's our big thing. We want feedback. We want to know what resonates with the consumer. What, you know, what are they interested in? Maybe they're not interested in anything we're working on. So we have to be careful. You know, we have to listen, and then we have to take conceptually what that feedback we get. And then we have to redeploy that and find the right partners, because I think there's a lot of good talent out there. And one takeaway I would suggest from what's gone on with the crypto market recently and some of the issues with some of these companies and the staking and stuff is that a lot of the financial investment is now pivoting into other utilities. They're like, wait a minute. And this is my opinion, like everything else, but wait a minute, maybe we don't want to be over here. But we believe in the technology. We believe in, you know, the fact that the payment rail systems are being changed based on blockchain technology. We believe financials, DeFi is going to be here, and it's going to be meaningful. So I think there's a real opportunity in the real estate space for us to sort of bring good ideas, and they'll get funded. I don't know what your feelings are on that.
I think so too. I agree. It's still very early, especially when it comes to real estate, right? I feel that there's other industries that are much more advanced when it comes to blockchain and crypto, such as the art world, the music world, even the fashion world. They're much more engaged when it comes to cryptocurrency and blockchain and NFTs versus the real estate industry. But I am seeing, and you know, I am going, you know, to different real estate markets and presenting and educating real estate agents. And I am seeing a lot of engagement. I am seeing a light bulb turn on as I speak, right? And people that are very much interested in learning more and becoming involved. And that to me is, it's very positive. Right. I'm not running into people that say, oh, this is not 2017. Right. When Jamie Dimon was saying, oh, crypto is a Ponzi scheme, or, you know, it's that thought or that, you know, that kind of thinking is no longer the case. I feel that we've reached past that barrier. Right. We've gone past that barrier. And now it's OK, this is real and this is here to stay. So how can we embrace it, right? And the question that I continue to get as I go to different markets and as I educate real estate agents is, what can I do? How do I get involved, right? And so now it's about teaching people how to do that, right? And I think that's where we are today as an industry. And now it's just about empowering our network to do so.
Yeah, no, all good stuff. And I think the more engaged and to your point, the more people that do, you know, take real interest in it, as I've gone around and talked, and now I'm, you know, right at 2 years of doing it. What I found is that you know, when I first was talking about it, specifically to real estate. I mean, I'm not out there talking big picture. I'm pretty laser focused on the real estate piece of it. So that's my audience. And a lot of candidly eye rolls and sort of, you know, what I almost felt like a bit of a snake oil salesman, I hate to say. And I wasn't even selling anything. I was honestly like, hey, I'm just here to sort of give you the here and now of what's going on in the space. And this is really when NFTs were first starting to, you know, evolve and hit the marketplace. OpenSea, I don't even think when I first started talking about OpenSea was not even a household name in our space. And then it's obviously evolved into it. I am seeing a lot more understanding. And I would also suggest some of it is marketplace driven, like Miami, where you've got a mayor that's very forward and leaning into the space and is essentially in some cases championing the opportunity of the city to embrace the technology. And that's super helpful when you get groups and you get municipalities on board. And that's where, from where we sit on the legal side, that's going to be an important partnership, you know, long term, that there are those public funds available to help, you know, push this thing forward. And I think that stage is being set. My thesis is the regulation is where we first have to start, and then that's being hashed out right now. Once we get a better framework around that, then I think we'll have a lot more runway and momentum and the biggest thing, money flowing into the space around tokenization.
Absolutely.
And that to me is really the here and now is tokenization. And then I think over time, we'll see more and more people understand and appreciate. And the other piece, something that we worked on really for the first year, we sort of hit not a dead end by any stretch. We've just hit a little bit of a pause is around, you know, the utility of cryptocurrency, or what I like to say digital currency, as a means of exchange for buying and selling homes. You know, that is still going on. There's just a lot of friction that goes on with it right now. And I would attribute that to the regulation piece of it. I think once we can get more clarity around stablecoin utility, the banks have already have the systems and capabilities there that would make it really seamless and really easy for people to use the currency, whether it be Bitcoin, Ethereum, what have you. There's the ability to move that and to do it in an efficient, super fast, but also very secure way. Is already, those rails are already in place. What we need is from a escrow standpoint, we need assurances on the regulatory side that stable coins can be used for good funds, and that you know, once we get that, and once we get some of the mainline financial institutions to come on board for retail deployment, I think you'll see a lot more adoption. I think people want to work with Berkshire. They want to work with brand names when they do this. A home is such an important purchase. It's one of the biggest purchases they're going to make in their life. They want to be comfortable with all the brands involved. You know, it's important. So that's why I think you all have such a leg up as an early adopter, because the brand is there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I believe there's over 20 bills that have been already introduced in Congress, in this Congress, that have to do with legalizing, you know, cryptocurrencies and looking at blockchain as you know, a technology that needs to be embraced. And they're positive. These are senators and congressmen that feel that it is something that it's a technology that can change the world and can help our society as a whole. And so I do agree with you that once those bills are passed and implemented, you're going to see a lot more adoption. And in fact, today, financial institutions don't have the compliance, right, requirements needed in order to approve working with, you know, crypto and blockchain companies. And so once those laws are passed, then they'll be able to create and actually use these different cryptocurrencies. Life insurance companies can't work with them today, right? Because of that. And other financial institutions cannot either. So I think there's going to be major adoption once they understand that, you know, okay, the laws are set and this is what we need to do. And yes, we can go ahead and put it through compliance and allow people to start investing in this. And I saw an article recently that Fidelity is looking at now starting to invest in crypto. I don't know if you saw that. And they're thinking over 10% of their portfolios to start investing in cryptocurrency. Can you imagine? That's billions of dollars. That's huge to the industry.
Yeah, there's a ton of untapped demand. And then I would also suggest there's also a ton of untapped capabilities that are out there in the space that we can, you know, with the proper your regulatory framework will be unleashed. So exciting stuff. Well, before I let you go, I want to ask a couple of parting questions. One, sort of looking in the crystal ball that you have over the next 5 years, what are you seeing in the space? What are you predicting, and either via Berkshire or some of the things that you're working on outside of Berkshire? What do you foresee?
I foresee blockchain coming in and making the real estate transaction more efficient. I don't foresee it disrupting the relationship between the consumer and the real estate agent. We're not going to become the travel agents of the world, right? Or the Blockbusters of the world because of these technologies. But we are definitely going to be able to make the real estate transaction much more efficient and less stressful if we implement blockchain properly, right? I think that's a huge benefit for the real estate industry. I also see metaverse changing the way that the consumer shops for real estate. I do think that crypto, blockchain, and metaverse are going to allow the consumer to get past the geographical boundaries of real estate and be able to buy real estate on a global scale. I definitely see that happening in the next 5 years. And aside from that, it's just a, you know, major adoption once these legal barriers get you know, we get past those legal barriers, right? When the U.S. government implements it, I do think that the U.S. government is going to come out with their own digital currency eventually, and most governments will do that as well. I don't know how adoption will be for those digital currencies. Are people going to stay with, you know, oh no, we want, you know, Bitcoin, we want Ethereum, we don't want government-based digital currencies? But I do see most major governments doing that as well.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm aligned there, and I just to sort of add on the metaverse, I definitely think as we get into the younger generations, their comfort level and understanding and willingness to participate in those type of environments is limitless. I mean, that's what they've grown up on. So I think that the people that are being serious and thoughtful around, you know, how the metaverse will impact their branding, their positioning in the marketplace, and it will impact real estate. I think those are going to have a big head start as we start to see some of the younger generation really get active within the real estate space. So
we already live in the metaverse, Chip.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the thing.
They already trade digital currencies.
Yeah, well, and that's funny. I mean, my 13-year-olds, I mean, that, you know, between Roblox, what's the one that they
Minecraft.
Minecraft, the one that I that we always have to watch is the one where
Fortnite is the tricky one. I'm glad my son doesn't play that.
I go down and I'm like, I've got one that does, and he sort of ebbs and flows on. It's pretty interesting. Like it's amazing the power of like branding and marketing really does. I mean, you would think it's all about the game. It's not. It's about, oh, they've released this whole new set of skins or something. And that's what really drives the activity. It's not the game is just the game. Like they can go do games all over the place, but it is honestly like what really drives. And I think that's where real estate, you know, what's going to drive people to get excited about a new development. I think the metaverse will be a big component of that. And especially with some of these large scale these larger scale developments. It's going to be about, hey, you can try it before you buy it type of atmosphere. So it's cool. Okay. Last thing. When you talk to people who are interested in this, they're new to the space, blockchain, so forth. Where are you telling them to go learn more about it? Because I think that's important that we continue to educate. What resources do you suggest for people that are curious?
The real estate agents that I'm speaking to, I'm suggesting courses that have to do with cryptocurrency as well as metaverse. MIT has a great course on blockchain and crypto, and I do recommend that one. Proppy also has the Proppy crypto certification class, so I'm suggesting that. And there's a lot of different books and YouTubes and podcasts that are available to people to educate. And honestly, that's how I started when I became interested a few years ago on it. I just started reading and absorbing as much information as I could, right? And then becoming involved with different associations and going to conferences. And so I'm suggesting all of those things. Miami has a lot of different conferences, March and April, that people can attend to. And I know that you have as well.
Yeah, it's a good time to really get to that. Yeah,
that really gives you a sense of the community, right? And great education, right? And access to resources there. So the blockchain conference is great. Miami NFT is great. Emerge is also a great conference to attend. And that's all March and April in Miami. LA also has some great conferences as well. And New York. So I am suggesting those. And Rick Edelman came out with a great book as well. About a cryptocurrency. So I'm suggesting that read as well.
Awesome. All good stuff. And one thing that I would add is that one, these conferences, what is great is that you learn, but the networking and the community building that comes away with it is, I think, as valuable as the information.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
The networking and the community.
Circle of influence and expanding it. Because what you find is that once you do engage and you find people, like-minded people that are interested in these new opportunities, technologies, they can be a great referral network for you in the future. So it's a great opportunity. Well, last thing, how do people, if they want to follow up with you personally, is there a way that they could reach out to you, Nina, and just get more information on some things that you're thinking about or working on? What's the best way to get in contact with you?
You can find me on LinkedIn, Ninoska Fabry.
Awesome. Well, we'll post all that too. That'll be in the show notes and stuff. Well, I just really want to thank you for spending some time with us today. Been great information. Looking forward to staying in touch and watching what you're working on evolve, and obviously watching what Berkshire does, because they will move the needle in the real estate market. I think that's going to be important. Leadership in the marketplace is really what drives a lot of this, and without it, you lose control, and that can be a bad thing. But thanks again for spending some time, and I hope you have an awesome weekend.
Thank you, Chip. It's great to be with you, and thank you for the opportunity.
Okay, signing off for Millennial Blockchain. This is season technically 6 and episode 2.